Good morning, Tucson, and welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. This is Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future and the future of our region. I feel like I always say this at the beginning of every show, or most shows, and it's most usually true. Really full show today. Got a number of guests coming on, all kind of related, actually. Shanae of Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes is on the line momentarily with advice for your business and personal taxes. And it's important because that federal stimulus package that was passed, the small business loans, all that depends on your taxes and your business tax preparation, all those documents. We want to make sure that if you are tapping into any of that assistance during COVID-19, that you have everything put together so you get what's coming to you. Amber Smith from the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce is on shortly after that to talk supporting local business and workforce development during COVID-19. And then Forward.us will be on to talk about their pitch to state leaders to reduce incarcerated populations to slow COVID-19. So we'll get on the weeds on that. But without further ado, Shanae, welcome on the line. It's good to hear from you.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good. Shanae is a dear personal friend, a supporter and sponsor of our show, and it sounds like you are busy these days in the midst of everything going on. We're keeping you busy with our tax prep. Is that true?
Yes. and everything else.
Oh man. Maybe we'll get to kind of your experience as a local business here in Tucson by the end of it. But for anybody who hasn't heard you on the air yet, give us the 60-second rundown about Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes and what your goal is to serve the local community here.
We have been in business since 2012. It started with just me, and I have about 15 years of accounting and tax preparation experience. Our goal is really to help small local businesses in any way that we can. We do everything from bookkeeping for very small businesses to payroll, taxes, pretty much anything you guys throw at us, we try to help you handle.
I love it. and Shanae, your heart has been from the beginning, which is really coming into play now, is to be a resource for local business here. You're a local business designed to help local businesses. It must be hard in that sense, because that's your mission, to see just really how our community is struggling at the moment.
Yeah, it's really hurting my heart. There's a lot of things coming out that are supposed to be designed for the small businesses, and in some ways they are, in some ways they aren't. The businesses that we deal with are usually really, really small, the majority of them, and this is really painful. Businesses that, you know, we're just barely limping along and trying to make it to that next point now,
right.
You know, they're really struggling. So it's painful for me, and I apologize if I sound a little teary.
No, that's quite all right. And I mean, that's, I think that's just why you and Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes are so special, because your heart really is to see small business succeed. And I guess that's a good segue to, and I love your insight on this, we've had some good conversations about already offline, is whether you are a local small business or medium-sized business, whether you are an individual right now trying to make it through. Recently, there's been some stimulus and small business support passed at the state level, passed at the national level. A lot of that, whether it's that personal check coming in to an individual or grants through the SBA, a lot of that seems to hinge on tax returns and kind of statements of income. Is that what you're finding as well, Shanae?
Yes. Myself and another bookkeeper in town, we are actually looking at a lot of things to get all the details. And what we're finding is in order for you to get to your stimulus check, you're going to have your 2018 or 2019 taxes completed. The thing that kind of touched our heart this morning was that even if you do, those people that usually don't do their taxes, like your senior citizens that just have retirement, Social Security, veterans, disability, they don't usually do it because they don't have to. They're under that bar. In order for them to get this check, they're going to have to file their taxes. 2018 or 2019 needs to be filed in order for you to receive anything.
Wow. So I'm hearing that this is going to catch a lot of seniors off guard.
Right. Wow. That was my biggest concern this morning. We are in the works of trying to find some places to support seniors remotely because, you know, that wouldn't be something that they even think about. Like, how do we reach enough people to let them know, okay, file? It says a simple tax return, which means basically we're going to put that one thing on the return and just submit it so that they have the direct deposit information and, you know, up-to-date information for them. So there's a lot of people that wouldn't even think that they needed to do it, but it sounds like everyone needs to do it.
Incredible. So if you're an individual senior or otherwise, and you're trying to figure out, you know, do I qualify for stimulus? How much do I get? What year's income should they be looking at? What is the government looking at for that?
They're going to be looking at 2019 first, and then if you haven't filed 2019, they'll look at 2018.
Gotcha. From your research, one of the things, Shanae, that we had an interesting conversation about is both at the state level for your state taxes and your federal taxes, both the state and federal in Arizona pushed out the deadline from April to, is it June or July?
July 15th.
July 15th. And so I think a lot of people are going to sit on their, you know, on their tax prep and not and wait for that. Is there a benefit to still getting your taxes in sooner than later in light of some of this stimulus funding? What's been your research on that?
Definitely. So things that have come across my desk are they don't have the right direct deposit information, which they're trying to create a portal for that, but they don't have one yet. They don't have the correct number of dependents. Basically, you didn't file your 2018 or your 19 taxes, and you had a child in 2019, so that means that you would not qualify for that. They just don't have up-to-date information at all. So getting them in as soon as possible is going to be the best thing so that you can make sure that you're getting as much as you can.
For sure. And it's kind of interesting. I'll just put myself out there. That was my situation. That is my situation, is my 2018 taxes don't reflect the kid that I had in 2019. And so, and that is a very, I mean, that's hundreds of dollars difference that if they're looking at my 2018 taxes, they won't see that. So, I mean, that's very real. That's very real, real to me.
Another thing might also be that, they start to decrease the amount at $75,000. So if you had a great year in 2018 and it wasn't so great in 2019, you know, you're going to want to get that information in there so that it reflects the accurate income as well.
Right. And then for couples too, it's something, there's an amount over 200,000, even if you've had a kid, but you, or have dependents, but you make over 200,000, then your amount is smaller to nothing. I know that's like, there's a lot of technicalities to this we can't totally cover, but up-to-date information is really important.
Yeah, it's you're capped out with no kids at 99,000, and with single no kids 99,000, and joint no kids is 198,000.
Got it. Got it. Before we shift over to business, to the business side of things, Shanae, we're talking individual tax returns and tax prep. You know, a lot of, especially in a crunch, a lot of people, I think, will try to just go on TurboTax or go to a place where they can do it individually. I know you're in the tax prep business, Shanae, so I know this is a weird question, but you care about the community, you care about people. Objectively, is there a reason right now especially that you see that someone needs to come and sit down with a tax preparer to get this done right? What's the challenge of doing it on your own right now?
The challenge when doing it on your own is always making sure the information you put in is accurate. I don't have anything against TurboTax. It does ask you a lot of questions. A lot of them do. TurboTax, from what I understand, is the most accurate in getting you all the questions answered. But there are just things that sometimes you miss. So the more complicated your tax return is, the less likely you should do it by yourself. We have a policy that if you've done your tax return on TurboTax in the past, that's perfectly fine. I will, you know, match TurboTax prices so that I can make sure the information is correct. Or I have people that I have walked through TurboTax with them to make sure that they're putting in the right information so that they can get it done correctly. My heart is really for our community. Yes, we need to make money, but at the same time, we want it to be accurate and for people to get what they need.
Shanae, I love that, and I could do 15 more minutes with you. But we've got a couple more minutes, and I want to switch over to the business side. You also help businesses with their tax preparation, whether it's an SBA grant or a business loan from a local bank or credit union. What are some things you're finding that if a small or local business owner is listening right now, what are the tax documents they're going to need prepared to successfully apply for some of these business assistance grants and loans?
So the good thing about the businesses is that I'm not seeing a lot about your taxes needing to be completed. However, I would think that they would look at 2018, if nothing else. For businesses, what you want to concentrate on is making sure you have accurate reporting, because you're going to need to know there's two different types of business loans that you can qualify for. One is called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and the other one is the Paycheck Protection, I believe it is. Hold on, I'm going to find the name. Paycheck Protection Program Loan. Both of them are from the SBA. Both of them ask for different things. Be very careful, because you cannot qualify for both of them, meaning you can't get them at the same time. One has some more immediate results that's supposed to be like a $10,000 grant that you can get sooner. However, I'm still doing all of the research, because it looks like if you apply for one, you can't have the other one. So, but in this particular case, yes, I would say you want to make sure your 2018 taxes are up to date. You want to make sure you filed all your 941s. But what they're really going to be looking at, from what I understand, is your average payroll cost over the last year. And so you're going to want to make sure your reporting is up to date. A lot of small businesses don't concentrate on that stuff. They're in there, they're running the business, they're just making it work every day. And this is one of those cases where you're going to want to go back and you're going to want to take a look at these things and make sure you have accurate numbers so that you can get the best help that you can.
Shanae, I love that. I mean, you and I talk to business owners every day at this point who are like, I'm just trying to keep my place open, let alone get all my paperwork right. Or some who've even opened up some of the SBA stuff and gone, this is page after page after page. I'm just trying to make payroll for the three people that I didn't lay off, you know, last week. I mean, these struggles are real. We've had a running kind of tax season, kind of promotion, Shanae, between, you know, my show and Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes. If someone listening is going, yeah, I want someone to help me make sure I get this right, can you review what you're offering our listeners to make it happen and make it happen right?
Yes. Tipping Point listeners that call in and say they heard about us on Tipping Point or know Zach Yenser get 50% off of their tax returns. We also offer a one-hour free consultation so that we can help you prepare.
I love it. And Shanae, I don't say this because I have you on. I think you are someone who cares for the community first, and I had to beg you to talk about that promotion right now. But the fact of the matter is, you are providing an incredibly important service to people that is going to put money in their pockets that they need right now. And so I'm so proud to be working together with you in the community, and I thank you for the work that you're doing. If someone wants to give you a call as well at the office, what's a good number to reach you?
They're going to want to call us at 520-838-0856.
Perfect.
And I just want to say one last thing
real
quick. Please, 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 if you know seniors, if you know retired people, if you know them, reach out to them and let them know that they are going to have to file some type of tax return so that, you know, people are not getting left out.
Yep. That's good. Shanae, the time flew way too fast. Thank you so much for your time and for your research to get us this up-to-date information. And please, if you're out there listening, if you're a senior, if you're a business, if you're an individual, connect up with Shanae to make sure that you've got everything squared away so you can survive this season in the best way possible. Shanae, one more time, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Have a good day.
Yes. All right. That was Shanae Hairston, Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes. When we come back from the break, I got some kind of breaking information as well on some SBA developments. Small Business Association tracks very well with what Shanae was just talking about. Amber Smith from the Tucson Metro Chamber will be on in a minute. So come on right back. Don't go away.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030, The Voice.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Zach Genser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back. A short segment here before we prepare to welcome on in Amber Smith, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. We're going to talk about small business support and workforce development here. Their fast response as an organization to business needs to COVID-19. We're going to update on that. And some exciting employment and workforce development things that just broke loose here after about a year of work. Some exciting things. I'm really glad that a listener of our program, Carlos Ruiz, he was on the air last week as a listener. He's listening right now to a webinar on SBA small business loans. He just tagged me in this. It's public. Details are still being developed, but get prepared with the following. And in big yellow highlight, this is required. If you are running a local business, pull the car over, stop what you're doing, get a pen and paper out. This is the most up-to-date. Here is what you got to have if you're preparing for an application for a disaster loan from the SBA online at the SBA's site. You need a SBA online. It's called EIDL. Sinead just said what the acronym means, and I can't remember, but it was a few minutes ago. So if you were listening, it's the, I think, Economic Injury Disaster Loan. I think that's what it is. SBA Form 5, you need that application. More importantly, here we go. You need 3 years of business tax returns via IRS Tax Form 4506T. You need 3 years of personal tax returns for all owners of the business. You need personal financial statements and an SBA schedule of liabilities. Those are the big five that you absolutely need. There's a whole kind of a whole nother six or seven items, but those are what's required. The application, 3 years of business and personal financial statement, and a schedule of liabilities. That's what you got to walk in with. So it's a real point for me on the show to do my part in messaging out. How do we help our local and small businesses? Tucson is so small business driven. So please, if you're listening and you run a local business, those are the five things you need. Please, guys, this is not a sales pitch, right? Go talk and meet with Sinead. Spend the free hour with her, if nothing else. There are real stories I have of real business owners who go, I'm just trying to keep my doors open and make payroll for a fraction of my employees, let alone sit down and spend 10 hours preparing this. I would urge you, if you have the bandwidth, sit down with your registered tax professional, or if you don't have one, sit down with Sinead. This could be a game changer for your business, but it takes time to get it right. So again, our goal here on Tipping Point is to connect real people with real people to meet real needs. That's always been true, but especially true now. So again, those are the five things that you need, and we'll keep you updated. That's what's fascinating about this whole process is what I come in with today, it'll be different by tomorrow. I mean, this stuff is moving so quickly. The news, relief, updates, the state legislature, federal government, I mean, it moves by the minute. We're doing our best to keep you up to date. My last thing on this before we continue talking small business in Tucson is, if you're running a small business in Tucson, someone's got to tell you we love you and appreciate you and are just glad that you're here. And collectively as a community, we're doing everything we can to make sure that you can stay here. Don't feel underappreciated. Don't feel ignored. Reach out, connect with us, because here's the fact of the matter. We're going to need you to come out of this. We're going to need you when we come out of this. We're going to need you to be the foundation of our economy moving forward, because no mistake, we're in for a wild ride. The economy is going to take a while to rebound. It's not going to just turn on and turn off. We need you. And I don't think people tell you enough. We appreciate you. Hang in there. We got your back. So I'm going to do that today. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour news break. Amber Smith, President CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, will be with us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on 1030 The Voice.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. The Conference Board reports its Consumer Confidence Index dropped this month to the lowest in 3 years. The coronavirus outbreak has dampened the outlook for job seekers and businesses over the next 6 months. Meanwhile, the outlook for the economy is looking grim. Goldman Sachs now predicts the economy will shrink by a third in the second quarter, and its economists expect unemployment to climb to 15%. And today is Equal Pay Day for women. Equal Pay Day highlights the overall pay disparity between men and women. According to the latest census data, women earn 81.6 cents for every dollar a man earns. And U.S. stocks are posting small gains on Wall Street. The Dow is up 95 points, S&P up 6, the NASDAQ up 42. Donna Wilson, Bloomberg Radio.
CBS News update. The coronavirus hits close to home for New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo.
This virus is the great equalizer. My brother Chris is positive for coronavirus. Found out this morning.
Chris, the CNN anchor, says he's fine and at home. Here in Washington, the State Department reports a COVID-19 death, and the mayor's explaining her new stay-at-home order.
We do have the ability to fine. We also have the ability to revoke a business license.
In Dallas, Mayor Eric Johnson wants a tally of hospital beds and supplies.
We're requiring this information to be sent to my office by 4 p.m. every day.
Long-term care Dr. Michael Wasserman in California is concerned about the risk at nursing homes.
If we push older adults out of hospitals into nursing homes, in 3 to 4 weeks, the problem will be 10 times greater.
CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas to the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in. This is 1030, The Voice. Tipping Point is what you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. In-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And safe to say that one of the big shapers of Tucson's future, our region's future, over the next couple years as we come out of some of the negative effects, any of the negative effects of COVID-19, is going to be our local businesses, our small businesses, how they thrive and what that means for our local economy. And I have talked about on the air, and I have admired from a safe social distance the work of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, who really pivoted quickly and within a week not only consolidated a lot of resources and advice and support for our local businesses, but also worked day in and day out with our local municipalities to figure out immediate responses to COVID-19. It's been a busy couple of weeks, and on the air to give us a bit of a snapshot and an update is Amber Smith, the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. Amber, welcome on. You're live. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, for sure. Give us the 30,000 foot of your life the last couple weeks, and we'll get going.
It's busy. I mean, it's clearly a very stressful time. For companies and individuals, and since companies are made up of individuals, it's really a never-ending 24-hour cycle of trying to respond to needs and concerns and questions that are happening across the front.
Amber, give us a little taste of kind of the first maybe 72 hours of the heavy hitting response. You and the mayor's office specifically were in touch on a moment by moment basis. You were a part of bringing businesses of different sizes and types together. When we started some of the kind of public health response to this, what were you hearing from local businesses? What were their concerns for the community, and what were their concerns for themselves?
Well, first it was the how. So on that Monday when, you know, most offices really started going to, you know, telecommuting and all of that, some of the biggest questions were, how do I do that? What does that mean for my staff legally? What does that mean for HR and payroll and my work schedule and managing from afar and having that right technology? So it was immediate questions from members, you know, not having that guidance because they don't have that in-house HR rep or in-house IT and technology. So it was a lot of connecting and a lot of information getting out, how to be able to make your workplace safe, whether that is internally at the actual office or, you know, the mobile working. But then it became the level of uncertainty. Okay, now we are telecommuting, and we figured out that new norm, but for how long? What does that mean for me? And we were really working with the county health department and just getting that information up to date. And we saw a potential immediate threat in all restaurants getting closed. You know, from our perspective, it would take one incident of COVID-19 infected person in one dining room that would put all restaurants at risk for permanent closure until an undetermined time at that point. And that's really what we worked with Mayor Romero about, is saying we think that we can echo some of these steps made by the enormous corporations like Starbucks, because we want to keep those restaurants working and we want to be able to control what it is that looks like. And that's where the compromise came from, of closing the dining rooms, but allowing for takeout, and what can we do to amplify the takeout message. And so that's what we did.
Right, and that's been huge, and kind of a segue to my next question. We're working with limited time this morning, have you on for a quick segment to give us an update. One of the concerns I'm hearing, I'll give you an example, Amber, and I'd love to get your thoughts moving forward on how we help our local businesses. So I just talked about, for example, what paperwork is required to apply for a small business loan from the SBA, Emergency Relief. And for example, talks about 3 years of tax returns for your business. I'm getting question after question, and I'm sure you are too, as well. I haven't been in business for a year and a half. You know, how am I right. eligible? I don't have all the paperwork. And so what I'm hearing is there's a lot of resources coming out from a national and state level, but it doesn't apply to me. There seems to be kind of this donut hole. I don't know if you're seeing that, Amber, but how is the chamber working to stand in the gap for some of these newer and smaller businesses that aren't, you know, receiving some of the immediate relief?
Well, we are partnering with Community Investment Corps and Local First Arizona and doing a large fundraiser. Community Investment Corps already is a standing nonprofit that is able to provide, has lending capabilities, but under, you know, more nimble parameters for small businesses. So we are, at the very beginning end of launching a significant fundraising campaign so that businesses can then apply through them to be able to get some of those bridge loans, because there's also the issue of not only it doesn't apply to me, but then in some cases of, yes, I qualify for SBA, but by the time I get that assistance, I won't be able to survive that long. So we really want to find that bridge, whether it's a bridge in timing or a bridge of, qualify for the loans. So that's one way. And then secondarily, we're trying to also offer those other resources, like having, we will be offering our own internal CFO consulting time for small businesses to help them through some of these applications, as well as training up our staff and some volunteers to make Small Business Development Center, SBDC, who is largely fielding the SBA loans and how-tos, to be able to make their efforts spread further and be more impactful.
We're talking with Amber Smith this morning, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. If this is our last question and answer, Amber, I want to make sure I get it in. So I'm going to go here next. We're now under varying orders statewide. That could be a whole other conversation. Here in Tucson, Mayor Romero extended this kind of stay in place through April 17th. The governor yesterday and the president moved to April 30th. We may just be in the, as a friend of mine says, second or third inning of this. What is your advice and thoughts to the broader community? How do we keep our small and local businesses afloat so that as many as possible come out on the other side of this?
You know, I wish I had the crystal ball to really say that there's one singular thing that we could do. But we're tackling it from a variety of angles. One, deregulation. I mean, there are certain regulations in place that are either expensive or simply inefficient. So we want to be able to unwind some of those things. Most recently, it was a sign code. I mean, something very simple that has a big impact for businesses, loosening that up. Second is something so small as leaving a review for those clients that you have, that you've serviced or worked with, or a certain service provider that you use. Those reviews have a significant impact. Purchasing gift cards or services in advance, maybe it is, not a great example, but, a small law firm prepaying for services in the future. Or if it's your cleaning company, you already know you're going to be paying for that service in the future, figuring out a way to be able to afford that. And supporting each other. I think that what we've seen with the restaurants, and mind you, not every restaurant's going to survive. There's no doubt about that. But the grassroots effort of how many people are supporting those local restaurants and the to-go has had a significant impact. And I don't think we should lose sight of that. Really, collectively, all of us supporting each other, it means something. And we've been actively surveying our members, and there's been the top two concerns for those businesses. Number one, cash flow, right? We already know that to be the case. They need grants, they need loans, and quite frankly, they need grants a whole lot more than they need loans or some sort of reprieve, like the payroll provision in the CARES Act will be very beneficial. But morale, that was the second thing. And whatever we can do to support those businesses, say that we hear you, we are working for you to help you. We want to be able to do whatever we can to make this time easier. Then we want to make sure they know that. So we're going to be starting our everyday knowledge at noon, offering those different free resources for those businesses that don't have, in-house resources, or perhaps it is one of those new businesses that have only been operating for a few months to a few years. Again, it's just showing that we are there for you. Let our experts help you get through this situation.
Amber Smith, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, thank you for your advocacy over the last couple of weeks. I want people to know how hard you and the team have been working. TucsonChamber.org/COVID-19 is where we'll have to leave it this morning. That is the news and resource page you have put together for businesses, individuals, people who want to support people and businesses. That's a great one-stop shop for up-to-date listing of what's available to get through COVID-19.
Great. Thank you, Zach.
Amber, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that was our conversation with Amber Smith, President and CEO of Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. So much to talk about and update on. When we come back from our last and short final break, we are going to talk with Ford.us about their proposal to state leaders to reduce incarcerated populations to slow COVID-19. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice.
Your source for trusted local news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com. I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to ImpactSOAZ.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time, but there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas to the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back in. Our final segment of the hour, sponsored by the Talent Store. My friend Devin Underwood and her team are dedicated to seeing Tucson employers rise stronger through COVID-19 while supporting our talented workforce. No doubt, if you're running a business, you're having to shift current operations, pivoting focus, how to retain workforce, what resources are available. The Talent Store is your partner to help guide decision-making around talent and workforce needs. Visit yourtalentstore.com to get a 15-minute consultation to figure out how does your business emerge out of this so important. Our last conversation of the hour is going to take place with Alyssa Johnson, Ford.us Arizona State Director, about Arizona, the proposal to Arizona local and state leaders to reduce incarcerated populations to slow the spread of COVID-19. Alyssa, welcome. You are live. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having me, Zach.
So give us the 120-second kind of lowdown on what this proposal is and what it aims to do, and we'll go from there.
Zach, right now we are, you know, as everybody knows, we're in the midst of a national pandemic, and one of the important ways that government leaders have to take action to protect public health is to protect the you know, 50 for Arizona, about 55,000 people that are locked in Arizona's prisons and jails on any given day. In order to flatten the curve, we have to have bold action and reduce the population of people who are incarcerated, because those are settings where social distancing isn't possible. And the conditions in some facilities make it more difficult to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And so we're calling on local and state leaders to use all available tools to reduce the population that are in Arizona's jails and prisons, and to protect those who remain incarcerated, ensure they have access to health care and soap and other necessary tools that we're all using in the community. But in terms of releasing people, that, you know, jails should be looking at releasing individuals on their own recognizance, making sure that there's utilizing home detention to the maximum extent possible, also looking at, you know, issuing citations instead of arrests, not prosecuting drug possession and other low-level offenses. There are a host of policy decisions that can be made right now that are in better for the better of public health, for the community, for people who are working in facilities, and for the people who are incarcerated in jails and prisons.
Alyssa, around the time, and I would imagine after this proposal came out, some counties like Coconino County have begun to release individuals charged with nonviolent offenses. Pima County is working to release individuals from its jail to reduce the spread of the virus. And certainly, I think it makes sense to limit the intake for sure. As I began to promote kind of this conversation and get it out there, I got some questions that I'm sure are kind of common FAQs, and I'd love if you could walk us through this on the releasing from prison. I'm sure you've heard concerns. Well, what if we don't have the kind of social services available? Aren't we releasing large-scale populations out into the community who may be infected? Is that good social distancing? What are some of the public health ramifications once outside of prison, and what are your proposals for that?
I think that we have to view that the people who are incarcerated are part of our communities, and so the same. I think that the same social distancing that we're all utilizing, but there's nothing that suggests that people who would be released would be more at risk. Or be bringing, you know, COVID-19. I think that what we're doing or what we're seeing in terms of testing or what we're all being told to do to isolate ourselves if we show symptoms. But we know that prisons and jails are seeing it in other parts of the country. Once it gets into those environments, it's spreading very rapidly, and it's impacting, you know, the individuals that are incarcerated. It's impacting the staff who are in and out of the facility, and increasing quarantines. And of course that directly impacts the ability to flatten the curve that we are all focused on and committed to right now.
In Arizona, I think Forward.us has figured out that about 12% of the population, the prison population, is 55 years or older. At large, testing numbers and negative or positive result numbers in Arizona are really vague in general. Have you been able to locate any numbers related to the results and the spread of coronavirus in our prison system? Do you have any data behind that?
Right now, there's not any available data. The last I saw that the department put out was that there are about 10 to 15 individuals who there's tests pending for them. And I think that's another thing that, you know, right now a lot of states are putting out that data from the Department of Corrections and other criminal justice agencies so that it's available to the public, so that, you know, that testing and certain screening measures are in place, and so that if an individual does test positive, there can be immediate action. And so right now, not aware that there's any confirmed cases, but as we see numbers increase across the country, and as Arizona sees its number of confirmed cases rise, there's an increased risk, and like I said, the population in terms of the age, and a lot of times individuals who are incarcerated have underlying medical conditions that just based on the CDC guidance make them more vulnerable to this virus and to the consequences of contracting it.
The how has this been received? I know some public health and correctional health experts agree that jails and prisons will serve as incubators of COVID-19. We talked about Coconino County and Pima County. How has this been received statewide, this initiative to kind of de-densify these dense spaces? I just made that word up. I don't know if you like it or not, but...
I think that what we're seeing is that more needs to be done in every county in Arizona, and it needs to be done quickly to have the impact. I think that, you know, the steps that some counties have made, but, you know, Pima County has a huge jail population, and individuals, you know, I think that it's imperative, and I think the work that has been done, you know, with the county attorney's office, the public defender's office, in order to release some individuals, we have to look at how we increase the ability to release and to use the tools, whether it's, again, releasing people on their own recognizance, in order to using home detention, looking at issuing citations, and so people are not languishing in jail, are not sitting in jail simply because they can't afford their bail. I mean, the reality is right now we don't want to promote systems that because somebody is unable to afford their bail, they're sitting in a place where they're more, where they could be more at risk, and where public health is impacted by being in an incarcerated setting where they can't social distance.
Well, do you does your data show that upon release that these individuals would have a place to go back to or go to and social distance? Is there any, in terms of policy, anything that Ford.us is proposing for kind of maybe figuring out who are best within the prison system to release back into society at this time? How do you make some of those judgment calls?
You know, I think that it's important to remember that right now, criminal justice officials and government leaders need to be taking bold action and need to be looking at how to maximize the tools and their authority and power to be able to release individuals. And I think that there's common sense proposals, you know, some of that I've already discussed today kind of allow that individuals can be released where they're, you know, home. In for instance, in Maricopa County, the sheriff's office ended its work furlough program, and people who are doing work furlough or suspended its work furlough program, rather. And those individuals or their work release are going home to serve their time so they can continue to work. And so we think about that there are individuals who are incarcerated that can be home, and that as looking at if they were home the same way that the most of the rest of us are now, you know, sheltering in place or staying at home under stay-at-home orders, the public safety will be served and public health will be served by not having them in facilities that, I mean, public correctional experts and public health officials agree that these facilities are not meant, and infections like this can spread very rapidly and have a dire impact. And in many instances, the healthcare access to healthcare isn't readily available. And sometimes, while states have made efforts to suspend co-pays that people have to use to access healthcare, there is still concern about how an influx of an infection in a community and in a facility would obviously put a burden on the hospital system. So as we work to flatten the curve, it's imperative that government leaders take immediate action to reduce the populations that are in Arizona's jails and prisons.
Alyssa Johnson, Ford.us Arizona State Director, thanks for giving us an update and for coming on the line. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tucson, we'll see you Wednesday at 9 on Tipping Point. Take care.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.